Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Apparently an Escambia County commissioner who prompted funeral home directors to write letters expressing their concerns about the operations.
Tuesday, during an interview with our radio partner, Pensacola's News Radio 92.3, medical examiner Dr. Deanna Oleski says the accusations simply aren't true. What also came to light during that interview with host Andrew McKay was information revealing it was District 5 Commissioner Stephen Berry who initiated the letter writing complaint. He says he's unsure why the commissioner requested the document, telling News Radio 92.3 he wishes he hadn't written the letter, saying it's been overplayed.
Yeah, so Channel 3 leading with this story all day yesterday, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and 6 o'clock, and then I think it was their second or third story at 10 o'clock, and talking about, you know, what they have unearthed and thinking about this. And, you know, one of the, key contributions that Channel 3 made was getting comment from Commissioners Jeff Bergosh and from Commissioner Stephen Berry. In case you don't know the backdrop here, Stephen, it turns out that the letters that were written by the funeral directors to the county were written at the request of one of the funeral directors and Stephen Berry at a meeting at his family's restaurant, Smokey's, which came out before the letters were sent to the county. And then those letters were then forwarded to the other commissioners, including Jeff Bergosh, who then publicized them on his blog. At an arm's length distance, we'll talk more about that later, but then they were requested by members of the press, and then they were publicized highly. And now we've had Deanna Oleski on the show, and she says, though some of the concerns were legitimate, that mostly kind of the procedural bureaucratic kind of concerns, the other stuff, there's been no way to verify it, and there's been no evidence that any of that is true. The funeral home director, Rick Bailey, he said that he regrets having written it because it didn't do any good. And none of them, according to the PNJ, Molly Barrow's doing follow-up reporting on the story, none of them apparently thought that they'd be public. You know, they thought they were writing letters that would be usable by Commissioner Berry the way Rick Bailey said it was to create a relationship and a conversation, basically, with the medical director or medical examiner's office. And, of course, instead of that, they got publicized. So why and, you know, how did that come about? The funeral directors wanted to create a conversation, not, you know, impugn the professional behavior of the medical examiner in public. So that's an interesting story in itself. But WAR asked Commissioner Berry, you know, why didn't you go to the medical examiner's commission? Or why didn't you encourage them to go to the medical examiner's commission, the superintending board with authority in this case? Why did you tell them to write the letters to you guys?
We spoke with the commissioner Tuesday afternoon on why he requested sending the letters to his office as opposed to the Medical Examiner's Commission. The commission has oversight of medical examiner activities.
I said, you know, if you give me something in writing, then, you know, then that makes it where I can potentially do something to help you there. We can, I can get a letter to the county attorney and, you know, the board. We are, you know, partners on the funding side with the medical examiner's office, and I think it's the kind of thing that my colleagues would want to know. But again, they want to know something in writing, not something that's hearsay.
You know, first of all, he doesn't answer the question of why he didn't ask them to go to the appropriate authority. Because I get these questions all the time. Somebody says, well, I got a complaint here. I got a question there. I got a problem there. And I'm like, well, that's not the right police people to go to. You got to go to these people. Or, you know, if you have a complaint, you got to go to those people. Like, because people don't often know. Well, his job as a commissioner should have been, oh, you have complaints? Well, why don't you talk to the commission? You know, or fine, I will help you broker a sit down. But no, put it in writing so that I can send it to our attorney so that we can talk about how to financially control them. Like, that's what he said, right? Is we control the funding. What is he implying there? That they're going to cut off her funding if they don't get the results that they want on this or something? I mean, that's a weird thing to say. And it doesn't answer the question of why he didn't go. And why didn't encourage them to go to the superintendent agency? So, of course, you know, one theory is that Stephen Berry is just trying to be helpful to his constituents. Another theory is he's trying to get a change in the medical director's behavior. This would seem to not be compatible with that. And he didn't go through with having the meeting that they were kind of expecting to have. So neither of those really seems to hold up with the facts. And then the question is, well, why else would he do it? Well, maybe he got his feelings hurt in September when she showed up with employees and complained about how they were dragging their feet on the new facility. Maybe he thought this was a way to leverage her by, you know, creating a firestorm that he could then get what he wants on the medical facility. I mean, those are not very nice motives, but I don't know why he's side conducting business related to the medical examiner. That's not really county business to begin with at a, you know, Smokies filled room to coin a phrase, you know, like, why is all this happening? And then when that set of documents get sent over to Jeff Bergosh, who then publishes immediately on his blog. Although, again, if you are familiar at all with Jeff's blog, he's never shy about sharing original documents. He didn't share these ones. He said as much in the original post, where it's kind of like he's not sure about the validity of them. I think he recognizes these are highly inflammatory and therefore also perhaps highly suspicious claims. And so he wants to distance himself from being culpable for publishing them. But of course, he knew that the PNJ would request him and Channel 3 would request him and we would request him and then talk about them. So, okay. So Channel 3 asks him about all of this. Actually, you know what? Let me get traffic in here before we finish up talking about this. Candy's got traffic on the 5.
Sure. This is brought to you by Knox Pest Control. The only accident I'm seeing right now, and it has been cleared, is Davis Highway south of Creighton, showing an accident, but not a roadblock or a slowdown. And again, East Bay Boulevard, Navarre, south of Coppell Drive, closed due to the ongoing drain improvement project. This is brought to you by the good folks from Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For more info on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. That's KNOX. Knox knocks them out. If you have a traffic tip, by all means, send it in. Text it in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So again, Channel 3 giving a lot of coverage to this story yesterday and a lot of credit to us. I always appreciate that. That's very kind of them. Anyway, talk to Jeff Bergosh also about this story.
In an April blog post, another commissioner, Jeff Bergosh, publishing the letters and stating the accusations were salacious and unfounded, telling me Tuesday the appropriate measure would be for the funeral directors to address their issues directly with the medical examiner's office.
Don't write a letter and make these disturbing allegations and send it to people and then get mad when people find out about it. I don't know what his motivation was in doing that. It looks like it's backfired on him.
Well, if you shouldn't write a letter about this stuff, then if you're a commissioner, you shouldn't be encouraging them to write a letter about this stuff, right? The criticism of the process here is really a criticism of Stephen Barry's way of handling it, at the very least. Now, I had wanted to know, one of my questions was, did Jeff talk with Stephen? Did he know about this? Did he know that the meeting originated with his peer on the board? And he told Joe Ford, our afternoon news anchor, yesterday that he did not know. He did not know, which is good news because it means you don't have to worry about questions of like conspiracy or like sunshine violations or any of that kind of stuff. So that's good news. But I also kind of wonder as if he didn't know about that. And he doesn't address that meeting and he doesn't address it in his more recent blog post about this, which I think is the big story here, is how this all started. But anyway, he doesn't address any of that stuff. I kind of have to wonder, like, if he didn't know that was the origin, had he known that was the origin, would he have disclosed the documents at all? Would he have publicized them? I mean, does he feel like Stephen used him to put out this story with the letters that, according to the PNJ, the funeral directors didn't want to get out in the first place? The way he baited the media into publishing the documents, although at arm's length, I'm not sure I believe any of this stuff, which has kind of been his take now. It's a lot of questions. A lot of questions. And when you're talking about the medical examiner, you're talking about a fairly important person and, there's more. There's more here. So I don't think this story is going away anytime soon. I think a lot of people are asking questions about the appropriateness of a lot of these choices. And by the way, kudos to Channel 3 following up with the other funeral homes, or at least trying to.
As for the other funeral homes who sent letters to the commissioner, the Trahan Family Funeral Home says they stand by what they wrote in the letter, but are working with the medical examiner's office to fix some of the issues had. They said they have no complaints as of today. As far as Pensacola Memorial Gardens, they've declined to comment on the matter.
And but Vice President of Operations for Pensacola Memorial Gardens, David Schneidermiller, told Molly Barrows from the PNJ, he said, quote, "I think our comments that my funeral director made just come from emotion. We're medical examiners. They're all business. They do so many of them and we get the cases, and we get emotionally touched with our families. So I think that's why the comments were a little bit harsh on our end." So that to me sounds like a walk back, too. that's a, well, I don't know if we meant all of that exactly in sort of the, you know, strong phrasing. We were just kind of caught up in the emotion of caring so much about our patients. So Trahan apparently is not walking this back. But the quote here was, I have no benefit from harming the medical examiner. From what I've seen out of the medical examiner's office here recently, I've been very satisfied with. What I don't like is this is trying to be made into something political, and that's not anything we were intending to do. This is Trahan again. It almost makes you scared to go talk to your leadership in the county if this is how everything is going to be spun. Wow. That's what he said to the PNJ, that, you know, they didn't intend this to be spun politically, and it makes them wonder if they should ever approach leaders in the county with information like this that they brought in what they thought was confidence and trust. So this is bad. I mean, this is bad from a, you know, what they thought was going to happen with the letters. This is bad from a, why did this all happen in the first place? What was Stephen Berry trying to accomplish? Why did it play out this way? And again, the participation of Jeff Bergosh in publicizing it. So I don't think we're done with this story by any stretch of the imagination. 821 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, let me recommend Frontier Motors. You know, Dave Ramsey talks about them all the time. We talk about them all the time. One of the reasons that I recommend them, and Dave does too, is because they sell the kind of vehicles that we think are a good idea to buy. Like the kind of vehicles where you buy it a year or two used, which is almost new. You know, it's the vehicle you would have had if you'd have bought it new a year later, right? Except that you don't have to pay the price for buying it new, right? But then you drive that car for 100, 200, 300,000 miles, and when the wheels fall off, you buy a new one. You know, that's been my approach. I took an Accord in 330,000 miles. I think my Civic now has 190. We replaced our Grand Caravan pushing 200 with the Odyssey that we bought from Frontier. So they sell exactly the kind of cars that you want to buy if you kind of follow the advice of Dave Ramsey and certainly to a lesser degree, Andrew McKay. But look, Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Park. Parkway. Be sure to tell him Andrew McKay says hi.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Banakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Banakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Banakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Banakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Banakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Banakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
ECUA's free recycling coach app is here. Discover which materials are recyclable, receive automatic reminders on waste collections, schedules, and holiday updates, and use the report a problem feature to schedule a special pickup or report a missed pickup. What's more, there's educational information on a wide variety of recycling topics and resources. Download the Recycling Coach app today with the App Store or Play Store. Also accessible from the ECUA website. That's ecua.fl.gov.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And now, Your Highness, we will discuss the location of your hidden rebel base.
Oh.
spoilers for movies or TV shows, do you care?
Keep in touch. The business owner had a point.
So it's great for the business itself. Do you care whether you know the ending? Do you like to know the ending, or would you rather be surprised?
Definitely rather be surprised. No, I'm disappointed if I get a spoiler. All absolutely. Right.
A little bit of redemption from the Star Wars thing, but you'll work on it, I know. All right. All right, we got a little bit of a mix-up there. The quote we were supposed to play was from Mayor Reeves a few minutes ago explaining how he's never watched Star Wars. He's never seen a Star Wars movie. And so Craig Hinesman, who you know as a local leader and a friend, he has now started a petition at change.org, which says, require Mayor D.C. Reeves to watch the entire Star Wars movie series. I love Craig so much. He's the best. Mayor D.C. Reeves, as a public figure and leader of the city of Pensacola, Florida, it is important that you are well-informed on popular culture and media. Therefore, we urge you to watch the entire Star Wars movie series. It goes on. I'll finish in a second. I got out of time sync here with Candy. She's got traffic on the fives.
Sorry, I was still trying to find it. It's
no big deal.
I hate our computers.
Oh, well, you know, every once in a while they get you.
It's the force.
No big deal.
It is the force. Anyway, DC's never seen Star Wars.
I know.
That is
the lead.
Roads are fine. It's Davis. There's an accident. It's south of Creighton. It's fine. It's been cleared off to the side. No problem. 437-1620 News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I don't know how speaker. Craig put this together so quickly, but he did. It sounded fantastic. He says, furthermore, Star Wars is one of the most iconic and influential film franchises in history. It has grossed over $10 billion worldwide and has a massive fan base that spans generations. By watching these films, you will gain insight into the cultural impact they have on society. Furthermore, as a leader in your community, I will add, and as political Jedi, it is important to understand how popular media can shape public opinion and influence behavior. The themes explored in Star Wars, such as good and evil, redemption, sacrifice, are universal concepts that can be applied to real-life situations. By watching all 9 episodes of Star Wars Saga, including Rogue One, no, good point, you will be able to engage with your constituents on a deeper level by understanding their interests and passions. This could lead to increased community engagement and stronger relationships with your constituents. We understand your time is valuable, but we believe this is an important investment for both yourself and your community. We hope you will take our request seriously and consider watching the entire Star Wars movie series. May the Force be with you.
That's beautiful.
This is the Pensacola Morning News making real and lasting change in your community. 828 on News Radio 92.3. David's.
You know, as a fellow person who's never seen a Star Wars movie,
I need
support,
to say that out loud.
I support Mayor Reeves, and I won't be signing that petition. Although, it's
right,
a
so
great.
So we're going to. What? I'm getting. This is starting to become. Okay, I'm going to name names. I'm going to go ahead and name names. I got a text in from Don Crayer, who's a city council administrator. He says, I'm with DC, has never seen any of them. Wow. This could explain a lot of things. Favorite vehicle from the Star Wars universe?
I laughed to myself when I heard you talking about Star Wars a couple of days ago, only because I have not seen any Star Wars. I'm like that guy that as a point of pride.
Cut the interview. This is the news. This is the big news of the day. All right, David, go ahead with your non-Star Wars knowledge and tell us whatever news you're capable of.
The controversial border policy known as Title 42 ends tomorrow. The public health regulation has been used since 2020 to turn back migrants at the border. The end of Title 42 expected to trigger a big increase in the number of migrants trying to cross into the country. As a matter of fact, the mayor of Chicago has already issued an emergency declaration because of a high number of arrivals there. Federal charges being unsealed today against Congressman George Santos, as he's reportedly expected to appear in court. Federal investigators have been looking into his personal and campaign finances. And former Las Vegas Raiders wide receiver Henry Ruggs III expected to plead guilty today to a deadly car crash from 2021. Court records show he's reached a plea agreement and is expected to serve between 3 and 10 years in prison.
My whole world is melting around me. Mike Wood hasn't seen Star Wars either. What the... You all seem like very normal, capable, informed people. You know what? I'm proud of us. We have created a loving, tolerant world in which even the people who haven't seen Star Wars feel welcomed and seen.
That's not true. You went off on the mayor and our news guy. And Mike Wood. Better watch out driving home, dude.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. New York House Republican George Santos is under arrest, charged by federal prosecutors with fraud, money laundering, theft of public funds, and false statements.
Santos, who represents parts of Long Island and Queens, has admitted to lying about having Jewish ancestry, a Wall Street background, college degrees, and a history as a star volleyball player. Many, including some in his own party, have urged Santos to resign, but he has resisted, recently going so far as to announce he will run for re-election.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. Annual inflation is below 5% for the first time in nearly 2 years, but consumer prices are up from the month before.
The consumer price index for April rose at the expected 0.4% pace, though there was a more modest increase than forecast for the year ending in April. The CPI was up 4.9%.
Fox's Jenny Casola. Stocks are higher to start the day on Wall Street. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, it's 8:31. News Radio 92.3, 77, cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. Earlier this week, local funeral director wrote a letter to the Escambia County Board of Commissioners detailing issues with the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office. Shortly after receiving letters from Bailey and two other local funeral homes, they were published on Commissioner Jeff Bergosh's online blog.
Don't write a letter and make these disturbing allegations and send it to people and then get mad when people find out about it. I don't know what his motivation was in doing that. It looks like it's backfired on him.
Those comments from Bergosh, who talked with Channel 3 yesterday. News Radio learned Monday that the letters were written shortly after a meeting between those funeral directors and Commissioner Stephen Barry. Barry tells Channel 3 he asked for the letters because he wanted to help, but couldn't do anything without their concerns in writing. One local intersection has seen a startling number of traffic crashes over the last few years. The intersection is in at Beulah and Nine Mile Roads. It's seen tremendous growth, of course, in the last several years as well. And more traffic. FDOT's Ian Satter says they're gathering data for possible road improvements.
The data will tell us if any improvements are needed out there and which ones are there. But we can look at everything from signal timing, additional signage, additional lighting. We can look at different ways we can stripe out there. So there are multiple things that we're going to look at. There's nothing off of the table.
FDOT's Ian Satter, who talked with Channel 3 and FHP, says there have been 44 crashes at that intersection in the last 2 years. Satter says even one is too many. They're hoping to bring that number way down. The Florida Highway Patrol says a 17-year-old driver of an SUV was cited for failure to yield after a crash involving a local Christian Academy van. That happened on Longleaf Drive and La Rosa Street early yesterday morning. Investigators say the SUV turned and hit the front of the van from S.L. Jones Christian Academy. 9 students and 2 adults were taken to a hospital with minor injuries after that crash. Well, this week, local leaders have been picking the brain of a national expert on homelessness. They're looking to find solutions for our own homeless issues here in our area.
When a community really coordinates and collaborates their effort, it can't just be one agency, it can't just be one entity. But when we see that community come together, collaborate with the political support and giving people the necessary services that they need, that's how we're seeing the success.
Dr. Joe Savage there. He's with the Interagency Council on Homelessness. He talked with both the Pensacola City Council and the Escambia County Commissioners yesterday. He presented at CivicCon last night as well, and he spoke about the federal strategic plan to end homelessness. They've budgeted $3 billion to bring the homelessness down nationwide by 25% in the next few years. Governor Ron DeSantis says he wants to empower teachers with what he says will be a record increase in pay and the teacher's Bill of Rights.
The teacher is just following state law. They're protected and they can't have negative action taken against them.
And the governor says he'll be approving more than $1 billion for teacher pay increases while giving them the presumption of acting lawfully when it comes to preserving safety and order in their classrooms. It is 8:35, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
Not showing any slowdowns. It looks like everything's running just fine right now. 98 clear from Navarre to Gulf Breeze into Pensacola. The 3-mile bridge, the Chaffee James Ridge, General Chaffee James Ridge, not showing any delays either. If you have traffic tips, you can text 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We're going to be seeing a warm and humid day today with temperatures in the mid to upper 80s, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures will stay warm with temperatures in the upper 60s, low 70s. As you go into your Thursday, our pattern continues with afternoon showers and thunderstorms possible, high staying in the mid to low 80s. We are going to be seeing temperatures overnight warm in the 70s. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And still a lot of cloud cover at 76 in both Pensacola and Gulf Breeze and 73 in Milton.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Are you curious about marijuana? Florida A&M University established the Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, also known as MARI, to educate the public about medical marijuana use as well as the detrimental health and social impacts of unlawful marijuana use on local communities. Find out more at mmeri.famu.edu.
Your money now this morning. The market is opening up. The Dow is up 173.16 at 33.734.97. S&P 500 is up 32.16 at 41.51.33. And the NASDAQ up 130, now 141.46, 12 at 12.321.01. The latest consumer price index report released today shows prices in the U.S. rising slightly in April, but that's not necessarily bad news. New data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics showing a less than 5% increase in the CPI over the past year. The rise, not as high as expected, shows inflation is cooling off since it peaked last summer. Well, the threat of defaulting on the nation's debt still looms. The path forward, unclear, after President Biden's meeting with congressional leaders did not produce a deal that would end the debt limit standoff. After yesterday's meeting, the president said a first-ever governmental default is not an option.
Everyone in the meeting understood the risk of default. Our economy would fall into a significant recession.
And he called the meeting productive, saying that they'll continue talking on Friday. Philip Morris has been ordered to pay $37 million to a Massachusetts woman that developed brain cancer from smoking Marlboro Light cigarettes. The state Supreme Judicial Court ruled on Tuesday that Philip Morris falsely claimed that the Lights brand was safer than the stronger Marlboro Red cigarettes. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Our next news at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, Traffic on the Fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah, I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
The premise of our frivolous discussion for today is an actual news story. I know, but trust me, you'll want to allow it.
Never mind.
There was a study done where they took some people who had not seen, I think it was a Hitchcock movie or something like that, and they basically... Half of the people, the control group, they didn't tell anything. And half of the people, they told what the plot was going to be. And, you know, Hitchcock, suspense, twists, unexpected endings, all that kind of stuff. And then they let them watch the whatever it was, movie or TV or whatever. And at the end of it, they tried to figure out how much they enjoyed the process. And it turns out that the people who knew the ending enjoyed it as much as watching it for the first time, the people who did not know the ending. So the surprises and the twists were not essential to the pleasure of enjoying it. I question the findings of this particular study, but there you go. That's the background. My question for you, 437-1620, do spoilers matter to you? Or maybe to rephrase, would you rather know the ending and the plot when you're watching something, or would you rather not know? Would you rather experience it as a, you know, kind of a moment? So 437-1620. This is on first viewing. Obviously, second time through, you know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Unless you're like me and you can forget. And then you watch again. You're like, oh, man, this is great. And my wife's like, we've seen this. Okay, cool. Excellent. Well, it's fun for me for the first time.
I do that too.
Anyway, Candy, 437-1620.
I hate spoilers.
Okay. And so as a corollary, you are very careful about not spoiling things for other people, right?
Yes.
Because it's jerk behavior.
It is jerk behavior, and there's nothing worse than somebody, yes, I'm not going to spoil anything by mistake, but
I'm with you.
It is, yeah, it's very frustrating. Oh, is that the one about the
blankety
blank?
No, stop it. I don't want to know.
I don't know. My husband is so good at that. Oh, is that the one? Yeah. Darren.
So
stop talking.
Here's where you find out that people can be married to all kinds of people. I am married to a woman who likes to know the ending. She goes and reads on Wikipedia the ending, which I feel is like a betrayal, even though it's not. She doesn't ever tell me. But, you know, she will read it up to see if she wants to, if she's interested in watching it, but also just because she doesn't like the suspense and the waiting and the uncertainty of it all. She's a planner, like, she's a coordinator, so it doesn't fit with her personality. And I'm like, you ruin it.
But if there's some sort of gore and it's freaking me out, then yes, I will look at it and go, you know what? I'm out.
Well, and she does it for that reason too. Mm-hmm. She wants to know whether she wants to watch it, and
so that's
kind of where her head's
yeah,
at.
Yeah, but I ruined myself. There's a movie called Saw. Everybody's heard of it, but yeah, the first one I looked it up on Wiki. That was the first time I ever looked up a movie.
Oh, interesting.
And it's like plot, and I was like, oh, okay.
I cannot imagine. You know, like I watched and listened to St. Louis Cardinals games all the time, and if I know the ending,
you do.
Yeah, I mean, but it happens a lot because I don't watch them live. And so I have to be very careful. Same thing for football games. I don't always watch them live. And so I have to guard myself against knowing, because once you know, like, the reason to watch is to see how you get there.
Sure.
Both for sports and also for, you know, movies and TV. Somebody's here says it's, let's see, that's about the BOCC. We'll get back to that maybe later. Let's see. You know how this thing ends, right? They all die. Nice. That's just, you know, somebody ruining it. I don't even watch trailers, this person says, all the way through because you usually get the whole story from them. No, true.
That's
true. A lot
and
of times
I've
you do.
Watching trailers
and that's
for that
true.
Reason.
Trailers
yeah.
can ruin the movie for you. If you've received spoilers, it's like cliff notes for the show. Could save you a lot of time, but I hate cliff notes. That's funny.
I know,
of course,
right?
This person's name is Cliff. Anyways, it's kind of funny. Somebody here says, I do not want to know if I spend that much money going to a movie to watch the movie. Don't spoil it for me if I'm watching it at home. Same scenario. Don't spoil it. It irritates me. Different words. Especially if someone I'm with tells me it's going to happen right before it happens. That is not a good thing in my book. Oh, the person, like when you go to the theater and the person is like predicting or narrating right next to you.
Oh, that's so frustrating.
Oh, man. You know, I mean, I don't want to pull a Milton City Council thread or anything, but, you know, it's not, I don't receive that friendly.
I don't even, I mean, I listen to Julio, but I don't.
Right. But he doesn't spoil things either.
At all. No, not at all.
That's what I love
about
him. He does it without spoiling.
He is beautiful at movies.
Imagine if the finale of Newhart had been released, would it have been as entertaining? If the end of it, or think of how MASH ends, or think of, like, you know, classic spoilers, right? Like Empire Strikes Back or The Sixth Sense, you know, twist ending type stuff, or a much lesser known M. Night Shyamalan movie, The Village, which I think is like the ending changes everything you think about that movie, and that's what makes it cool. So. In order to get that effect, you have to be immersed in kind of the misdirected plot. You have to be thinking about it the wrong way in order for it to be a kind of thing. And so that's why I don't like it, because it takes away not just the enjoyment of it. And you know, look, you know, a lot of times you know how a movie is likely to end, but the how they get there. Is a lot of times you know these characters are going to win and that character is going to lose, right? You know the result, but the stress is not knowing how, and that's the fun of it, is the anxiety over, like, not just that I don't know what's going to happen here, but that I don't even know how they can make this happen, and then they do, and you're like, ah, oh, you Perry Masoned it, good job. 845 on News Radio 92.3. Somebody here says trailers are evil. I love that. Oh, by the way, I have a follow-up for you in just a second on the Star Wars plot. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Somebody texted, is Ferris Bueller really Tyler Durden?
Oh, let me ponder that a little bit. That's an interesting one.
Absolutely,
okay,
it is.
All right.
Presented by David's Catfish. They're on Dogwood Drive in Milton. And good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays. Looks like everything cleared up. Chase, Gregory, look at downtown Garden and Palafox, all checking in clear. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I think the answer has to be no. He can't be Tyler Durden because at least he speaks directly to the parking lot attendant.
Nice.
See? Do you know what I had to do to make that work? That's fast. I'm just saying.
See, that's why I love this show, even though it's probably you and I and that guy. Sometimes.
This is a Fight Club / Ferris Bueller / philosophy. Know the rules of the game and answer the question. Kind of.
I never thought about that before, though.
I got it. No, it's right. It makes you think, like, did he actually, was he a real person or was he just, you know, Cameron's, you know, figment of his imagination? Sorry, not to ruin Fight Club for you. I got a text back from DC Reeves because I texted him the petition.
Is he not going to come on the show again?
Well, maybe. No, he says, I'll tell you what. I promise you that when the petition on change.org to make me watch the entire Star Wars franchise gets to 1 million signatures, I will watch the first one.
So he's being
reasonable about it. Yeah, that's good.
I love DC Reeves. I hope you run for president. DC and DC.
And we are so, like, this is, this is my boss's nightmare for the frivolous segment. This is where we just go completely wild on tangents, but somebody just texted in to me. That's right. Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago, is the figment of your imagination.
I love telling people my name's Abe Froman.
Oh, that's great. That's great. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, get a good realtor. Look, you know you need one, okay? But it's to get you the best deal, to make sure the deal goes through, to make sure you get to the end result and you're happy in the end. And Christina Leavenworth is fantastic at this. She's got more than 65 homes either sold or under contract as of April 1st. So I know by now, right, that number is quite a bit higher. More than 230 last year. They get the job done. And here's the thing. We always talk about her as a seller's agent because the things that she knows about how to get the right price for it's amazing. But on the buy side, who better to help you buy a home than somebody who completely understands the seller's perspective? What kind of bid they're looking for, what other people are likely to bid, what the right price is, what you can haggle on, what you can't, all of that stuff. So if you're trying to buy a home, especially a particular home, and you really want to make sure you get it, I mean, like, that's where you bring Christina Leavenworth in because she will make sure that happens for you. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru Boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure, and the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey, so grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29 just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Join Escambia County this morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as they discuss their upcoming career fair at the Pensacola Bay Center. There are several career opportunities available within the Escambia County government. If you or someone you know is looking for a new career, then tune in this morning at 10:30 to learn more about the Escambia County Career Fair.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
Parents usually know if their children will argue over their inheritance, but this can be prevented. I'm Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors. No one wants to see their wealth wasted away because of poor planning. I've assisted several clients with estate planning ideas and sometimes have served as trustee or executor upon their death. Give me a call at 497-6167. Armada Advisors is charting a better course.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620.
So kind of an interesting little story brewing that has to do with potentially, and I say it that way on purpose, potentially radioactive source material being legally allowed to be used in the construction of Florida roads. And you say, the what? Right, but no, so here's kind of the background, okay? There's a bill that lawmakers have sent for signature to Governor Ron DeSantis that has to do with the use of, I'm probably going to butcher this, phosphogypsum? Phosphogypsum? Nah, it's probably phosphogypsum. And which is a radioactive waste material that is created in the manufacturing of fertilizer. But the way you manufacture fertilizer is, I know nothing about this personally, I'm going entirely based on the story that I read, is that you refine it, and in the process, you create massive amounts of this phosphogypsum so big that we have 800 acres, 200 foot high at some of the locations where they store this material after it's produced. It's phosphate rock dissolved in sulfuric acid to make phosphoric acid for fertilizer and a few other things. And then phosphogypsum is what's left over, like the waste solids, basically. And, you know, they've been linked to some problems over the years, sinkholes, other breaches, things like this. And phosphogypsum contains appreciable quantities of uranium and its decay products, such as radium-226, according to the EPA. It is more radioactive than the original phosphate rock, apparently, and the radium is particularly a concern because that decays to form radon, which, of course, we know has cancer-causing properties and radioactive gas. Okay, so here's the idea. Okay, the critics want DeSantis to veto this, saying that using radioactive phosphogypsum in roads is not a solution to... By the way, I don't know a number for you, but I have to assume that the level of radioactivity is incredibly low, right? I mean, very, very low, but not zero, right? Okay, that's certainly what's involved here. Using radioactive phosphogypsum in roads is not a solution to the fertilizer industry's toxic waste problem, the Center for Biological Diversity and 30 other groups said in a letter to the governor. Florida should not be a test subject in the industry's reckless experiment. Well, here's, again, the background is you have all of this potentially usable rock-like substance that could be turned into roads at a very low cost because we have it in abundance, and it would solve the problem of having to store the phosphogypsum. But what about runoff? What about is in the road surface? What about people who are walking on the roads that have, you know, like these are all the questions sort of to be answered. So House Bill 1191 would compel the Florida Transportation Department, FDOT, to study using phosphogypsum in paving projects, calling for demonstration projects, you know, so they'd try it on some roads, using phosphogypsum in road construction aggregate material to determine its feasibility as a paving material. So I've told you everything I know. I've told you everything I know. And I think when you first hear radioactive roads, you're like, man, that's bad. Of course, what I'm thinking is there a way we could use that to be visible at night? You know, like
if we could. My feet are walking on it.
That's, right, that's fantastic. It's way better than having to paint the white lines every couple of years. No, but I mean, I'm sure that's an oversold headline. But it remains to be a legitimate question. Again, water runoff, effect on the soil, wildlife. How serious is this? Teeny tiny, little bit bigger? I don't know. And so that's why they want to study it. I'd be in favor of the study. I am a little concerned about the study being an actual road being built with it, because that doesn't seem like the kind of thing you can undo if it has adverse effects. But a couple of roads and then you study it. Maybe we're talking 10 years, 15 years in the future is when we start implementing. 855 News Radio 92.3 Candy has traffic on the fives.
It's slow on Highway 98. This is eastbound from about Gondolier Boulevard back to College Parkway. Very stomp and go. And if you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Oh, a couple of fun stories here for you. Here's one, just kind of a... I found this entertaining, but here you go. There's a Australia in the Wodonga police station. Sergeant Martin Torpy tells the BBC that 48-year-old Lillian Ip, I kid you not, that's the last name, capital IP, found herself stuck in the Australian outback last week, having taken a wrong turn and getting bogged down in the mud, as you do. And apparently she didn't have the right kind of Range Rover. So in the car that she was driving were some lollipops and a bottle of wine meant as a gift for her mother. And she's a teetotaler, so she doesn't drink. So here you've got a problem. Like, you're stuck in your car, and at some point you're trying to just stay alive, and you've got lollipops and wine. Well, by the fifth day stuck in the mud in unknownistan, Australia, you know, right? She lived off of the wine, which does have some nutrient properties, and the lollipops, and she managed to survive. But oh my God, she says my whole body was shutting down by the time that they were arriving. I was about to completely give up, treated in the hospital for dehydration, and she's now home. So good. She survived. That's the good news. It's a good story in the end. Okay. Nobody died. 8:56 on News Radio 92.3. What was the other one I was going to tell you about? There was another sort of in that same vicinity. Oh, it was the woman who deliberately, and I just don't understand this story. I don't know who would do this. She deliberately secluded herself inside a cave for 440 days. Yeah. 440 in a cave.
They were bringing her food.
Well, I know, but it's not the same, and no human contact and all this. I'm like, what?
Awesome.
What'd you say, Candy? It sounds awesome.
Sounds awesome.
Wouldn't have to put up with you, Andrew. So I can see that. That might be a selling point.
And lots of people, not just you.
You know, my wife would be probably like, so you're telling me about some cave where I can be completely left alone by all people at some point after the kids have gotten through college. Where do I sign up?
Come on, so, Danny, we'll bring Wikipedia.
That's right. So now 50 years old, Beatrice Flamini, exiting a cave outside of Granada on Friday, where she passed the last 500 days with zero human contact. She in a 230-foot deep cave by reading. She would finish a book every 8 days. Slow reader. Knitting, drawing, and exercising. You know what she didn't do? Shower.
Full of mud and rocks.
I haven't touched water for a year and a half, she said, after emerging beyond, the water that she drank to stay alive.
Sure.
So I feel like maybe somehow or other there's a dating opportunity here between her and the toe-sucking night manager at the hotel.
That doesn't equate.
You don't think he'd be interested in her toes after 500 days of not showering?
I don't know. I don't know how the toe thing works. To me, she sounds like she's going to be one of the organicsons.
When they, I agree. Yeah, the good family. When they came in and got me, I was asleep. I thought something had happened. I said, already? Surely not. It can't be over already. 8:58 on News Radio 92.3. Time for
Future News.
Future news, telling you what's going to happen before it happens. $5 million judgment against Trump for the civil violation, many years ago, the allegations against him for sex misbehavior and also for defamation by denying it. Is he going to have to pay?
Yep.
I would think the answer is yes.
He didn't even show up to defend himself.
And they didn't run a defense either. They thought either the case was too weak or they didn't have a defense they could make. Skate park hours, what do you think the outcome is?
24/7, baby.
I think there will still be a 10 o'clock maybe cutoff, something like that. Do you think there will be any kind of an operator there who does lessons and things like that as part of the security issue?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe they should get a DJ, me.
As long as it remains free and open to the public, I think that's an interesting proposition.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with